Hear people talking bad about the way we have to live here in this country. Harping on wars we fight and griping about the way things ought to be. And I don't mind them switching sides and standing up for things they believe in. When they're running down my country, man, they're walking on the fighting side of me. Yeah, walking on the fighting side of me. Running down the way of life, I'm fighting and talking down to me. If you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be a warning. You're running down my country, man. You're walking on the fighting side of me. And I wonder just how long the rest of us can count and be free. They love our milk and honey, but they preach about some other way of living. When they're running down my country horse, they're walking on the fighting side of me. Yeah, walking on the fighting side of me. Running down the way of life, I'm fighting and falling down to be. If you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be a warning. When you're running down my country, man, you're walking on the fighting side of me. Yeah, walking on the fighting side of me. Running down the way of life, I'm if you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be a warning. When you run down my country, man, you're walking on the right beside me.
Yes, when you're running down my country, you're walking down the fighting side of me. That's the name of this program here on WhiteResistanceRadio.com. Well, lots more news and views for our people. Of course, those are the European founding settler people of the Dominion of Canada, the United States of America, the Dominions of Australia and New Zealand, the Republic of South Africa, Rhodesia, and all of you who may be listening this morning in the European heartland. Well, so much to talk about. First of all, you've probably all heard about the coronavirus. It's of course started off as so many of the recent epidemics like SARS about 15 years ago. Started in China and spread due to modern transportation and so on. The Chinese authorities are in a panic. They have shut down a city of 18 million people, so nobody theoretically can get in or get out. They're trying to quarantine, we're not talking about a few dozen, a few hundred, a few thousand, we're talking about millions of people. I had a report from a Chinese doctor that there are over 100,000 cases in Wuhan, and basically the numbers are being suppressed. The Red Chinese are in a panic. But that's no comfort to us because there have been a couple of cases already in North America, in Seattle. There are cases have spread to Hong Kong, to Japan, to Vietnam. Now, anyway, it's really a big problem. Well, first of all, let's go back to what we do know. How does this come about? SARS was one of those illnesses that jumped from the animal kingdom to the human kingdom. And that's because of, let's be quite blunt about it, filthy Chinese practices, especially having to do with food and their fetish about having meat as fresh as possible. And so these Puran, because they eat practically anything that flies, crawls, slithers or swims or walks, in the case of the SARS virus, there was a big market in a central Chinese city, a food market, in which animals like civet cats, and they're very rare, they shouldn't have been hunted, were kept in cages above other animals. The poor animals are ill, they're urinating, they're defecating, and, you know, whatever is in their body gets spread to other animals, which gets into the meat that got into the people ate, which started the SARS virus. Well, you don't hear much about it, but what seemed to be the culprit in this case is snakes. No, not snakes coming out of the grass and biting anybody. These are snakes that are being kept for food. And this coronavirus has infected some of the snakes. And because the snakes are kept in filth in close proximity to other live animals and meat, apparently the coronavirus has once again jumped from animal to human. So this is where I think we're really just at the beginning of the crisis. This brings up the whole idea of multiculturalism. All cultures are equal. Well, no, they're not all equal. To say they are is just plain nonsense. And here we have a very good example. The cultural practices, the dirty food preparation and treatment of animals, the marketing practices that are common in China, are a direct cause of illnesses, and that's the reality. Stay tuned. We'll be hearing more. A reporter by the name of Kian Bexty works for the for Ezra Levant's Rebel Media, and he's done a tremendous report on that troublemaking little Swedish girl, Greta Thunberg. And he went over to Sweden, wanted to interview her, wanted to actually see how she operates, or these student strikes and so on that she leads. She has security. Yeah, a little 16-year-old girl has security. Well, you know, like, who pays for that? Now, this is part of a big old scamorama that we have been. I think we've been fed a complete bill of goods. This is the Rebel Media has put out a really good report based on Kian Bexty's work, and it's called Greta Thunberg Incorporated. So I'm going to play this for you.
Climate activist Greta Thunberg has returned to protest.
Time magazine person of the year, the youngest in their history.
Overwhelming support for Greta Thunberg.
At 16 years of age, she has become the face of the climate change fight. She's hijacking the news cycle through hashtags, viral moments.
Taking on climate change head on, pulling no punches. Her passionate speeches have drawn attention all over the world.
People are concerned that the premise of your school strike was never actually the innocent thing that it was. Did Reinshoek accidentally run into you, or was it orchestrated by your parents well beforehand? I'm allowed to do this. Where are we? Hong Kong? China? No, this is Sweden.
So you have an idea? Why are people who are critical of Greta not allowed to be anywhere near the action?
Hey, what are you doing? Don't touch me.
You don't want to tell the world to be paying you?
Nobody has bothered to dig deep into the rise of her messiah, but until now, if someone starts to pull that one thread, then it will all come collapsing down. Who do you think you are? I'm asking questions.
Yes.
I want to ask Greta some questions.
Yes.
Don't touch me.
Oops.
What are you doing?
You apologize for hitting me?
Yes. Yeah. Bullshit. You punched me in the gut 3 times. Your hands on me wasn't a part of this. You didn't need to be a part of this. You could have left me alone. It turned out fine, didn't it? You could have left me alone. You didn't. And it's gonna blow back on you.
How does a 15-year-old girl bewitch the world? She doesn't, at least not alone. Greta Thunberg's rise to fame over the course of several months is not nearly as innocuous as it might appear from the outside. Rather, Greta's rise was facilitated by elites from around the world. The campaign to canonize Greta as a saint in the eyes of the world's leftist Zoomers and Boomers alike was coordinated, it was orchestrated and executed nearly flawlessly. Nobody has bothered to dig deep into the rise of her messiahhood until now. I've just landed in Stockholm, Sweden to do just that, to expose the lies that Greta's handlers have built her movement on. Chinks in Greta's armor only began to appear after she had bewitched the world, not before. Greta's sadistic side was exposed when she told her raging supporters that the movement needed to put their opponents against a wall.
World leaders are still trying to run away from their responsibilities. But we have to make sure that they cannot do that. We will make sure that we put them against the wall.
Many started to compare her to a modern-day Mao, firing squads and all. But that's not her only Maoist trait. This has been unreported so far, but Rebel News has learned that while Greta was on her intercontinental field trip, Greta had elite, low-profile security that would train kids to act as hidden security to maintain her innocent image. Just like Mao's red guard, Greta had a green guard. It's not just the authoritarian side of Greta that nobody sees, it's the hypocritic side as well. Remember Greta's Tesla, filled to the windows with plastic utensils, grocery bags, water bottles, and imported goods? Well, Greta doesn't want you to see that. She doesn't want you to ask any other questions about her questionable rise to fame. Unfortunately for her and for the people behind her, that is exactly why I came to Sweden. To ask questions that the mainstream media won't. Specifically, I want to ask Greta about the school she's allegedly striking from. The world is under the impression that Greta was a regular student who walked out of class on a Friday. What we have learned is that Greta's education regime isn't really what most people assume it is. Greta, whose childhood has been characterized by severe eating, speaking, and socializing disorders, was actually sent to a school for kids with special needs. This school, Kringla Skula it's called here, doesn't actually have attendance requirements like a regular school does. When the pupils are not feeling well, or are sick, or are having an episode, well, they're not required to come to class at all. Rather, the parents can keep them at home or take them on an excursion, as long as they bring their textbooks. If that is the case for Greta, if she doesn't really have to be in the classroom, she isn't really on a school strike, is she? Her whole viral movement is based on a lie. Luckily, tomorrow is one of Greta's trademark school strikes. I'm going to go there and ask her questions right to her face. Right now, though, I'm going to go check into my hotel and touch base with my publisher, Ezra, and see what else is on schedule.
Mm-hmm. Now, it's just a big assignment, but I found a friend in Sweden who we've worked with before. She's an investigative journalist named Annika Rothstein. Now, in the past, she's reported for us from Venezuela in the middle of their uprising, so she's very courageous. If she's willing to stare down Nicolas Maduro, I think that she can stare down the political correctness in Stockholm. But I'm not completely kidding. We've seen pictures of Greta Thunberg and her mom and dad wearing Antifa clothing. Now, that could just be, them acting butch. Or maybe they really are backed up by those violent street gangs to the left that are pretty active in Europe. So be careful. Annika's got a good sense of things. She survived Maduro's, thus she can survive anything Greta has. But I think the number one job for you, Kian, is to ask the questions that the mainstream media won't, and to accept the answers wherever the facts may lead. Is Greta really on a school strike, or is that just some fake backstory? Is her entourage a big corporate PR agency, or is she really living the dream? And finally, if you can find out more about her origins as a global superstar, especially the Sigmar Red song, I think those are three big questions that the entirety of the media party has never asked. So it's a big job, but I think you're up for it.
So with that, my cameraman and myself packed up and headed to downtown Stockholm to meet up with Annika, a reporter on the ground who knows lots about the Greta Thunberg saga. We started out at the parliamentary campus where Greta Thunberg's school strikes originally began. This is the pedestrian walkway surrounding the Swedish parliament, and it is the exact location where Greta Thunberg started staging her alleged school walkouts on August 20th, 2018. It is the exact location where Ingmar Reinshog coincidentally, or at least we're supposed to believe, he just happened to walk by Greta Thunberg on the first few minutes of her very first school strike. Ingmar Reinshog is a financial investor and public relations specialist who just dropped off his son some few kilometers away for kindergarten on his way to work. Now, this location is nowhere near the most likely route of travel, and it's kind of hard to believe that he accidentally stepped off of the metro, walked a few kilometers to get here, and then went back to the metro and then went to work. And it was all a coincidence. It was all a happenstance. That's what they want us to believe. I don't buy it. It was right here at this very spot where Greta Inc. was originally founded. It is right here where the entire saga began, the saga to kickstart a global leftist icon. And we're supposed to believe that it was all a coincidence, it was all an accident. Now, on the day, August 20th, when Greta was found by Ingmar Reinshog, a friendship and business partnership was formed. Very shortly after, Greta was added to an advisory role on Ingmar Reinshog's company, the Facebook for Environmentalists, We Don't Have Time. Ingmar Reinshog used Greta's image to promote his company and make a boatload of cash. Now, Greta says adamantly that she didn't profit from that, but Ingmar, well, he sure did. Now, everybody wants to know what the motivation is behind the people at Greta Inc. and the people pulling the strings. Well, Greta Thunberg's motivation and that of her family was admitted on BBC Radio. Greta Thunberg's father went on BBC and said that her activism is a Xanax of sorts to fix her depression, her selective mutism, and her eating disorders. Listen to him.
I mean, I have two daughters, and to be honest, they're all that matters to me. I just want them to be happy. And I can see Greta's very happy from doing this, and I saw where she was before. I mean, she didn't speak to a single person. She could only eat in her own home. And when she went on this school strike, and I think day three, someone came along and gave her, like, pad thai vegan, and she ate it, and that was like, yeah, I cannot explain how much that, what change that meant to her and to us. And it was just like, she changed, and she could do things that she could never have done before, and now she's just like any other. You think she's not ordinary now because she's special and she's very famous and all these things, but to me she's now an ordinary child. She can do all the things like other people can, and like, she's happy. She dances around, she laughs a lot, we have a lot of fun, and she's in a very good place.
Now, while this activism is curing Greta Thunberg's depression and mental illness, it's sparking mental illness in youth around the world. Depression has skyrocketed among young people. Many young folks think that the world is ending and life is just not worth living. But I guess that's the price to pay for Greta Thunberg's family.
So when I was 11, I became ill. I fell into depression. I stopped talking and I stopped eating. In 2 months, I lost about 10 kilos of weight. Later on, I was diagnosed with Asperger's syndrome, OCD, and selective mutism.
Now, it's obvious that Greta Thunberg is going to have her selection of whatever Ivy League she wants to go to, and she'll be making her fortune in due course. But right now, the people making the money are the folks pulling the strings of Greta Inc. It's the people like Al Gore and the industry behind him, the speaking circuits for these green elites around the world. It's the green lobby, it's the green tech that are making the money, putting Greta up on a pedestal to spark this movement so that they can make the bucks.
Would you be able to tell me, you're Greta Thunberg security, who's paying you?
No, I don't want to.
You don't want to tell the world who's paying you?
No, because I don't think the world needs to know who's paying me. No.
She demands electric vehicles, she demands that she takes a boat across the ocean, but her security team can drive a gasoline-powered vehicle.
You're a funny guy. No colors.
All right. It's okay, don't touch me though. Thank you.
Sure, Greta has
you know, pulls the wool over our eyes, or at least Greta has. The people behind her have said, have set this up in a way that looks, in retrospect, really orchestrated.
Right.
Pretty planned out, and there are some people maybe financially benefiting from it even. But people do this kind of thing all the time, these public stunts. It happens all the time. What is the more insidious side of this?
Yeah, I would say that, sure, this is a cynical PR plot on the face of it, but what's behind it is interesting and, in my mind, a little bit scary. Because we know for a fact that the person who inspired, or rather told Greta to start this school strike, is the founder of Extinction Rebellion here in Sweden. This is a guy that has very, very clear political policies. So he has a strategy. We know that he planned this strategy when he sent out a mass email saying that, oh, we need a youthful face to sort of boost the idea, these methods that we're working on, because no one listens to a guy in a suit, so we need a cute young face to promote this political environmentalist agenda. He then reaches out to Greta and tells her that, oh, I had my daughter do the school strike a year ago, and that worked really well. Why don't you do this? And she does.
And he said, if I remember correctly, he said his daughter was inspired, or it was his daughter who was inspired by Parkland students.
Yeah, yeah.
And Greta has said that she was also inspired by Parkland students.
Right.
So you can see the line sort of drawing between these two.
Yeah.
And also on the file of Extinction Rebellion, Greta has said she's giving money to them.
Yeah, and she went, a lot of times people will, they will plead, the team behind Greta will just plead ignorance and be like, oh, a lot of people like to associate with her, but she has no opinion either way. In this case, this came directly from her own Twitter account, which they claim she runs on her own, where she did this musical collaboration. She was wearing an Antifa shirt at the time. I think a lot of people have seen this photo because members of her family also wore these Antifa shirts, and it was because of this musical collaboration she was doing with a musical group that had to do with environmental issues. And I think the issue of privilege is one that isn't discussed enough when it comes to Greta. As we know from pictures taken inside her house, they have furniture that, you know, someone like me could only dream of owning. And she is extremely, her family is extremely well off, and she does not know true hardship, even with her disabilities. If you claim an adult stage, if you're saying that, okay, I'm going to speak on the world stage about these very, very serious issues, you have to be able to not have it be a monologue, but a dialogue. And I think that she has only reached the monologue stage, unfortunately, and it's time to make this conversation about climate a dialogue, where she answers a lot of very difficult questions.
And with that, Annika and I walked to the very community where Greta Thunberg says her childhood was ruined. What we saw there, I almost couldn't believe. So this is the community that Greta Thunberg actually was raised in. This is where her childhood took place. She might have actually played in this exact sandbox. Now, I don't want to show you her exact house because I know what everyone will say, but you can get a taste of the community that she lives in. Come check this out. Look at these buildings. It is almost like a storybook. It's like a children's book. The colors, the tranquility here. This is where every child in the world would love to grow up. This is the childhood that Greta supposedly never had.
Dude, I'm not aggressive.
Rio, you are dangerous for us.
So get no, I'm not.
Fuck.
Leave me alone. Leave me alone. This late in the winter, days don't last too long in Stockholm, so we packed up our stuff and headed back to our hotel, getting ready for Greta's 72nd school strike.
So I'm here standing outside of Greta Thunberg's alleged school strike right outside of the Swedish Parliament here today on January 3rd. There's not a large crowd, but there certainly is a media gaggle. And what I find interesting is there's actually a large security presence that looks like private security right now. Who is paying for them? Greta Thunberg says she doesn't take money from anyone. Her parents pay for everything she needs, apparently. At least that's what we've been told. Her parents are paying for 3 security guards here on her school strike. I find that hard to believe. Let's go see what we can find out.
It turned out there were far more security personnel than we first thought. There were 3 very close to her, but there were far more spread around inconspicuously around the block. I approached a few of them to figure out who they were and what they were doing. What was the breakdown? Who was paying them? Here's what they said.
Hey guys, how are you? Are you guys security for Greta Thunberg?
Yes. Who's paying for you?
I don't want to do any comments with her.
Do you come to every strike that she's on?
I don't comment. No comments.
You have 3 security guards here for a small strike over there. What do you expect to happen? And I'm really curious to know who's paying for you and your equipment, your travel, your car here.
I'm sorry, I don't comment anything. I'm sorry.
Is Greta Thunberg angry at all that you use a gasoline-powered car?
No comments. No comments. Okay.
Has she asked you to use an electric vehicle at all?
No comments, okay.
Why is that? Like, these are pretty simple questions.
No comments.
Greta Thunberg is an international presence, and your security team has gone virtually unnoticed.
You have to understand that we cannot give you any comments.
No, I can. I can ask some pretty simple questions. I'm a reporter. I came across...
I can't answer.
Just the one question then. Has Greta asked you to use an electric vehicle? Do you think it's weird that you are the acting as security for Greta, but she demands electric vehicles, she demands that she takes a boat across the ocean, but her security team can drive a gasoline-powered vehicle?
You're a funny guy. No comments.
All right. It's okay, don't touch me though. Thank you.
Excuse me. How are you?
Sorry?
How are you?
Fine.
It's a little cold, eh? Would you be able to tell me, you're Greta Thunberg security, who's paying you?
No, I don't want to.
You don't want to tell the world who's paying you?
No, because I don't think the world needs to know who's paying me, no.
Is Greta Thunberg paying you personally?
Come on, I don't want to answer your questions.
How about you, sir? Who's paying you?
Why don't you stop?
Stop what? Asking questions?
Please, yes.
Why would you want me to do that?
No comments.
Interesting. No, you won't tell me, is Greta Thunberg paying personally, or? I like the jacket, Arc'teryx.
Nice.
Expensive brand.
Yeah.
How many would you say?
5, 6.
7. Are you from Sweden yourselves?
Yes.
Yeah. You follow her wherever she goes. Did you come to Canada when she was manipulating her general election? No. Do you work for Parliament?
I don't want to answer your question, please.
The world wants answers.
Okay.
Do you think they deserve to know who's paying for Greta Thunberg's trips across the ocean, her hotels, her security, her platforms, her audiovisual equipment?
Nah,
no,
I don't think so.
Do you believe in her cause?
In
her cause?
It's her cause.
But you could just get paid back, it doesn't really matter. Alright, I respect that.
So fine, Greta Thunberg has major security here. Who's paying them? Still not totally clear on that. Why are they undercover and trying to act all James Bondy? Also don't know the answer to that. What I do want to know, though, is why are certain people allowed to go to Greta and ask questions? And how do these security guards know exactly who we are already? And wouldn't let us come near them at all? Why are some people allowed to ask questions? People who are in favor of Greta's campaign? Why are they allowed to ask questions and get close? And why are people who are critical of Greta not allowed to be anywhere near the action? It seems like they don't want tough questions being asked because they know if someone starts to pull that one thread, perhaps the thread that Greta Thunberg's school strike was never really a school strike, then it will all come collapsing down. Greta, would you be able to tell me what school are you actually striking from? Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Show me a press card.
Yeah. So when you actually started your school strike, were you leaving the classroom or did you have a day off from your school you were at? You know the school you go to, you have multiple days off a week. You don't actually have to go to class 9 to 5. Did you walk valiantly from the classroom like you've led the world to believe? Or did you just have days off on Friday?
So
Nice to meet you again. I remember you from Edmonton.
Yes, I remember your Tesla. It was full of plastic.
Oh, it was not my Tesla. I shared it with many others.
Just messing around.
No, I'm trying to ask her questions.
Yeah, I know.
And don't touch me. Don't touch me. Oh, this is a free country. No, this is a free country.
Yeah, but you're behaving.
I'm behaving fine.
Yeah,
I'm behaving fine. Who are you? Who's paying you?
Who's paying me?
Yes.
Why do you want it? Do you have a press ID?
Yes.
Yeah, show me.
Who are you?
Show
me your ID. Who told you could be a rent-a-cop?
Yeah.
Don't touch me.
Don't.
So that was a very, very interesting video of Greta Thunberg surrounded by security. You might wonder, why would a 16-year-old involved in a supposedly nonviolent protests and strikes and that type of thing need security? Who's providing it? This type of thing, if it's professional, doesn't come cheap. Not that her family is poor. But I think the rebel media has done a good job in beginning to expose one of the big public relations con jobs of our time. Powerful forces wanted this girl Greta Thunberg to make to be a galvanist for the radical environmentalist movement. They shut down the carbon produce the carbon industry, gasoline, diesel, etc., 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 all the while getting people, young people, almost hysterical with fear. Here is a recent expose. It's great that people inside the beast sometimes share information that that they've come upon, and this is about the Elementary Teachers Federation of Ontario. And they produced a study guide about white privilege for lessons in primary, junior, and intermediate grades. That means, like beginning in grade one. This is just outright white-hating propaganda. And I'm a former public school teacher. I've always had a fair deal of confidence in the system, not a lot, but some. But I would say to any parent today, don't send your kid to a public school, because you will have to spend a lot of your time in deprogramming. Children will be taught one thing there, which is it's the cultural Marxist agenda of hatred of our people, and you're going to have to first of all find out what they were taught. And you will then have to try to deprogram them and tell them that some of what you were taught in school is not true. It's not what we believe. That becomes difficult. You want, on the one hand, instill respect for school, for teachers, and say, you should do what you're told, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. On the other hand, you have to tell your young person that basically a lot of what they're told cannot be trusted. It's a hard situation to be in. These are some white privilege lesson plans. It's an extension, so we're told, by the Elementary Teachers Federation of Ontario, of their Rethink, Reconnect, Reimagine. It's in the brackets, the white privilege booklet. And a variety of engaging lessons that they say. They direct you to the study guide that they've developed. And this is, you know, just a poisonous atmosphere of anti-white propaganda. And what is softening young, first of all, it inflames non-whites. It tells them that this is an evil country. All these whites have privileges. And you've somehow been done out of these privileges, which of course isn't true. If they're immigrants, they've been allowed to come to Canada. Doesn't sound like a vicious persecution to me. But that's what they're told. They're in their sense of grievance is created in their minds that they've been badly done by. And then there's this endless demoralization of young white people. See, if people, and I've said this for many years, when that day comes that the white people, the European founding settler people, regain their pride, or to be crude, regain their testicles, it will be all over for the third world invasion and for multiculturalism and so on. Now, I'm not talking about massacres or anything like that, but once we realize how we have been absolutely swindled, conned, and abused, we'll take this continent back. It's the fear of that day. And the arch conspirators who've been doing this to us know that. Maybe their minions at the lower levels don't, but Kipling said in his very prophetic poem, "When the Saxon learns to hate, watch out." I'm not quoting directly, but he talks about the Saxon's character, slow to anger, peaceful, preferring not to have a confrontation and all that. That is very much part of our character. We're not aggressive. We're not swaggering, looking for a fight with everybody. But he says, when pushed too far, we will get angry and we will strike back. And I certainly think that day cannot come soon enough. To prevent that, you have our enemies they've got to sap our morale. Well, what better way to sap our morale than to say we're bad? You see, we've got this thing called white privilege. We didn't deserve it. And we should be ashamed of it. Well, once you can make a person ashamed of themselves, you've got them in a great position to be able to manipulate them. You see, you've got something you shouldn't have. You are bad. Now, you know, if you tell people this often enough, they believe it. On a rational level, of course, it's nonsense. We don't have anything special. In fact, there are special laws granting special privileges to minorities in Canada. We've got anti-free speech laws that restrict criticism of privileged minorities. No, far from being somehow a privileged group or having advantages that we don't deserve, we are underprivileged. Just to take a brief look at this, if you're a Native Indian and you live on a reservation, you don't pay taxes. You don't pay sales tax. You don't pay income tax. Let me see. How's that white privilege? It isn't. We're paying for them. If you're a Native Indian, you will get your, you know, if you can motivate yourself to go get through high school and enroll in a university, you'll get full tuition paid for. Your father may be a multimillionaire. It doesn't matter. That's paid for. If you're a member of certain other minorities, you get special privileges in terms of hiring or advancement through something called employment equity. The Americans call it affirmative action, which was dreamed up for us by the Jewish, she's now a member of the Supreme Court of Canada, Rosalie Abella. And that's part of the effort to create equality, to enforce equality. Not just equality of rights, which may be okay, but equality of results. Well, we're going to goose the system a little bit. If you're a native Indian and you commit a crime and you're sentenced to prison, or I mean you face sentencing of some sort, the court must take into account your native background. So you'll get what's called a native discount. They call it that, but that's what it is. So if I punch somebody out and would otherwise perhaps get 6 months in jail, a native does the same thing. Well, his native background is taken into consideration, and he might get 3 months, or might not even get anything. He may be urged to go to a healing circle where they, I guess they talk and burn sweet grass and so on and so on. Now, remind me of how my white privilege kicks in. You see, what we have to do is to vigorously refute these lies, because they're meant to undermine us. But that's what kids are being exposed to in the elementary schools of the province of Ontario, and that's why parents really have this terrible dilemma. And my urging would be for parents not to send their kids to these dens of propaganda. Well, this is Paul Fromm. You're on the fighting side. I mean, go take my musical break right now. I'm going to play some German drinking songs as I have for the past few nights. Hope you enjoy them. Back with you in just a few minutes. This is Paul Fromm, and you're on the fighting side of me here on WhiteResistanceRadio.com.
and this is Paul Palms. Back with you again tomorrow, same time, midnight Eastern time. Show's repeated at 8 in the morning, 4 in the afternoon. All those are Eastern Standard Time. And I sign off tonight, as I always do, with the anthem of the real Canada, the Maple Leaf Forever.
In days of yore, from Britain's shore, Wolfe, the dauntless hero, came and planted firm Britannia's flag on Canada's fair domain. Here may it wave our host, our pride, and joined in love together, the thistle, shamrock, rose, and twine, the maple leaf forever. And Lundy's